We talk often on this podcast about how historical scientific advancements differed greatly from modern-day studies. Many scientists and physicians utilized dead bodies and unfortunate accidents to discover life's greatest mysteries. Today, I'm going to tell you one of those unfortunate stories.
I'm Anna.
I'm Alexandria.
And this is the Tea in STEM.
So I want to tell you today, Anna, about the father of gastroenterology and the man that discovered digestin.
Ooh.
But first, so we talk a lot about the scientists, the doctors, and the surgeons who had the insight to investigate and problem solve. However, we don't often focus on the life of those that were tested on and in the good name of clinical research. Today, I want to dedicate today's story to all those who volunteer for science of all kinds. Without them, the scientists would just be guys in a lab coat.
True.
So with that, I'm going to start by introducing our star of the show, Alexis S. Martin.
You were going to say your name. I was like, okay.
My name is also Alexis, but this is a different Alexis. So Alexis St. Martin was born in April of 1802. He was a Canadian voyager. A voyager at that time was referred to someone who was an independent entrepreneur who had traveled to North America and into the First Nations to trade. So pelts, things like that. In 1822, St. Martin was traveling and trading on a post in Mechanic Island, which is now an island off of Michigan, when he was accidentally shot with a musket at close range. There was nothing out there about it being intentional. It was just, you know, one of those accidents. Older guns had a lot more misfires and accidents than some of your newer artillery does, just because the, like, gunpowder wasn't kept track of in any way, in the way of, like, people didn't have any training. It wasn't, like, pre-made into bullets. They were self-loaded. So it was really common that while people were loading and prepping to hunt animals and stuff, it would misfire.
I see.
So there was nothing, like, malicious about it. But St. Martin was rushed to the nearest medical care, which happened to be the U.S. Army Station, and was seen by the Army surgeon, William Beaumont, which now we introduce the father of gastroenterology. Although St. Martin was young, only 20, his wound was very severe. It was described as such. The shot blew off fragments of St. Martin's muscles and broke a few of his ribs.
Oh my goodness.
So I also want you to keep in mind that there are many other dangers to gunshot wounds, especially in the 1800s. Infection was rampant, sterilization wasn't really a thing, and the way the gunpowder was used entered the body more rampantly and caused a lot of problems too with, like, blood illnesses and stuff from the gunpowder.
Like, that must have been super close range, and I'm assuming these are, like, little mini, what are those, cannonballs?
Yeah, those little musket balls.
Musket balls, yeah.
So it was mini cannonballs,
yeah, that's right.
Which is why I was led to believe that it was, like, a misfire while someone was loading because of how close it was, and, like, if it wasn't something malicious, when else would it have been that close? So that's what happened, and as a good army surgeon with a determined patient, Beaumont continued to attempt to heal St. Martin.
Huh.
He did what's called bleeding him, which is when they would bleed people out intentionally or let leeches bleed them out to avoid illnesses. They thought that that helped with infection. They gave him a high-dose cathartic, which is basically a laxative that they used to alleviate poison. At the time, they thought if you had a laxative and pushed all the stool and everything out, it would get rid of any poisons. Not modern technology, but it was what it was.
Yep.
So after all this, St. Martin actually started to recover. He ended up recovering enough that he was trying to eat and drink and stay. That was, like, a really big part of people getting sick and dying back then, is that there wasn't, like, IVs to give people nutrients. So them eating and drinking on their own was really vital. However, there was still a gaping hole in his side. So for 17 days, St. Martin ate and drank, but most, if not all, of his food was falling out of his fistula or the hole that was left in his stomach.
Oh, my God.
Just completely out. After those 17 days, the food began to stay in his stomach and his bowels began to function again, i.e., he pooped.
Oh, my God.
So, however, he was not healed, per se. So he was able to eat and function, but the hole never fully closed. So during the healing, the edge of the hole of his stomach attached to the hole of the skin, and it basically caused, like, a permanent opening from, like, right underneath his rib cage into his stomach. And it was, like, all connected. So the food would drop in. And as long as he was in a position where nothing was leaking out, he was fine. And the food would stay in. But you could still see in there and, like, reach in there. According to Beaumont, the hole was the size of an entire forefinger that he could stick into the stomach completely. So,
okay.
Pretty big.
You should have came this with, like, a warning to, like, non-medical people. Don't listen to the podcast if you're eating your lunch right now.
Sorry. I'll trigger warning that.
Trigger warning.
I don't think we can make fun of trigger warnings, but I could put graphic descriptions of stomach juices. Anyways, so Beaumont understood what a once-in-a-lifetime chance he had to begin the understanding of digestion, along with St. Martin. So at the time when they used a lot of already deceased patients to study these things, there was no way to show active processes such as digestion, because you could see what was left over, but you couldn't see how it got from one place to another.
Right.
So here's where things weren't kosher, and modern day, completely unacceptable. We think it's unacceptable, but this is what happened back in the 1800s, because science has not always been that way. St. Martin, although he was a well-traveled trader, was illiterate, and Beaumont had him sign a contract to work as his servant, doing chores and allowing Beaumont to do his experiments to observe his digestion through the hole. It's kind of interesting, because when you look up St. Martin, it says that he was tricked, but when you look up Beaumont as a person, it says that the wound would not allow him to continue training, and so he took pity on him and hired him to do these trials on him.
What?
So I think that it definitely depends on
who you ask
and where the information's coming from, who they're shining in the light. But I'm guessing it's safe to say that because of what happened later down the road, Martin was not very keen to this idea.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He was asked to do regular servant household chores, which reported, according to other people around, that it didn't have any distress on his wound, so they weren't worried about infection anymore. There was no, like, major health concerns as far as his wound went. So Beaumont would tie food to a string and have St. Martin swallow it so that he could then observe the process of digestion for X amount of time and then pull it back out with the string to understand what happened so far.
You mean out his mouth? Like, pull it back up?
They don't describe which way. I think it depended on the size of food and different other things, because it says that he would have him swallow it, but then pull it up with a string. So I don't know, like, how the string would have either been in his, like, sitting in his throat, or if it would be something that, like, he'd fish out from the hole.
Have you seen cats when they eat the string and it comes out of both ends?
Yeah.
Which way do you pull, man?
Neither.
Right?
Neither. That's when the vet comes in at hand.
Yeah, call your vet.
But anyway, so that's the type of test he would do to try to figure out how digestion worked. He reported any complaints that St. Martin had, but also St. Martin was illiterate and a servant, so who knows how accurate some of these complaints were, and there's no proper documentation from St. Martin's side on how he interpreted these things. Or
there definitely weren't any e-pros here.
Yeah, if it hurt to pull out the food or anything like that. Some examples were Beaumont would also place sacks of food in the boy's stomach. The boy would report that there was pain, uneasiness in the breast area, a sense of weight in his body, and distress, vertigo, and dimness of vision before Beaumont would pull out the sack of food through the hole again. He would collect cups of his stomach acid and place things in them. He's actually the man who proved that stomach acid actually was acid. At the time, nobody knew what it was and nobody could prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And he proved it by collecting active stomach acid and showing in cups that food would degrade in it.
Wow.
He would put St. Martin under various temperature, exercise, and emotional distresses to also see what effects that had on digestion and how emotional stressors, you know, can have different effects. We know nowadays, slow digestion, increase lower metabolism, or vice versa for some people.
Yeah.
So in 1825, St. Martin moved to New York with Beaumont, as his legal contract stated. He was paid $150 a year, which is just shy of about $5,000 today, and given free boarding and food and stuff like that.
It's a low-paying study right there.
It's a very low-paying study, especially for something you have to live with the doctor all the time.
Yep, I'm out.
During this time, he kept doing various low servant things, making food, carrying things around, whatever it may be.
Low activities of daily living.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And also completing all of these studies. So then in September of 1825, shortly after they moved to New York, St. Martin tried to run away, but Beaumont paid heavily for his capture.
Because he was being abused.
Yeah. So that's why it's, even though on the Beaumont research side it says that it was to help St. Martin, when you look later on that he kept trying to run away, it kind of, it flips that narrative a bit. So he paid for his capture. So he ended up staying there for another 8 years until 1833. When Beaumont took all of his information public, he did over 200 recorded experiments and published a book titled Experiments and Observations of the Gastric Juice and Physiology of Digestion. The book was then published in 1834, and St. Martin was able to move away again to his home back in Quebec, Canada. Beaumont continued to try to get him to move back in with him again so he could continue experiments, but St. Martin refused. Beaumont continued to write and try to convince him over and over and over again for almost 20 years until 1853, when Beaumont died, finally leaving St. Martin to peace. So thankfully, he wasn't able to get anyone to capture him and bring him back, but he was very adamant about trying to convince him to come back. And St. Martin was like, no, why would I do that?
Yeah, I escaped my torture. Do we know his ethnicity?
Canadian.
That was it?
Yeah.
How can that happen? And what year was this?
1830s.
Well, it is true that there was a lot of different ethnicities that were enslaved, and it was like people owned people. It didn't matter what race they were.
Mm-hmm.
You could just own people.
Yeah, and it wasn't frowned upon
either, which is terrible. Yeah.
What you're looking at and what you're looking for, and it just came down to people who didn't have money and as much education were the ones who got the short end, wherever that came from.
Right.
You hear stories of people from Africa, people from the Caribbean, people from Ireland, the Chinese, all over. And we did talk about at the beginning that he was illiterate. Yep. And even though he was a trader and stuff, when he got put in a situation where he felt like he didn't have a choice and his health was on the line, he was kind of tricked into signing.
He was tricked into it. God, that's terrible for research.
It is.
Why does research always have to start off with such a bad history, man?
It's just because nobody knew and nobody was talking about it enough. And it took a long time for people to talk about it enough to start advocating for each other.
I feel like the best research history we have is Florence Nightingale.
Yeah.
The nurse. I mean, she's like the best research history we seriously have, that she actually did everything in kindness and in love and in compassion and proved things by healing people, not against their will.
Yeah.
That's the only person I know of. Okay, there's probably 1,000 others, but that's the only one that comes to my mind
right
now.
That's how it should be. But the other problem is these people who weren't educated enough to know didn't know that they had any right to advocate for themselves.
No, that's true.
And that's why teaching people that they're allowed to advocate for themselves has been so important in the last, 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to, because he didn't even know he had an option of anything else.
He could say no.
Yeah. So anyways, so again, Beaumont died in 1853, and St. Martin was still living in Quebec with his family. So in 1880, 30 years later, St. Martin did end up dying. His family knew that because of these advancements that were made in gastroenterology due to St. Martin, that his body would probably be a prized possession, and that there was talk, and we've talked about this before with the giant.
Yeah, I was just going to say the giant. Who stole him, Alexis?
Yeah.
Who stole his body?
You know, they knew that people would want him. There's already talk about it, and that he would likely be stolen and grave robbed. The good thing is what people wanted wasn't his bone structure, because his bone structure was not anything abnormal. Right. What they wanted was his flesh.
They wanted to see how it worked
and how it degraded and get samples of things before it was
too
far gone.
Mm-hmm.
So to avoid this, they purposefully avoided laying his body to rest for quite some time and refused to bury him until he was almost completely decomposed into just bone, and then they buried him in Canada.
Oh, lovely.
And that way they had full watch over of it and everything, which, you know.
Good.
They just wanted to make sure nobody took it.
Hurrah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you hear stories all the time about people trying to do that and not working. Somebody, you know, breaking into the funeral home or into the morgues or this or that.
So thankfully, they were able
to follow St. Martin's wishes and make sure that his life at least ended on a consensual note. So although he was tricked and his social standing was unfairly and wrongly used against him, because of him, we now have an amazing understanding of GI, and many lives have been saved because of these advancements. And if it makes you guys feel any better, fun fact, Beaumont was famous because of all this GI stuff, but he was also kind of a bunch of people over his career, which you had to dig a little bit to find this. Everything about him is about this GI stuff. And then if you look up anything else deeper, all of his stuff is a ton and a ton of testimonials against him saying that his practices killed patients semi on purpose. There's people with head injuries that he may have purposefully tried to do something weird to cure just to see if he could get lucky and get famous again. and they ended up dying when they shouldn't have. And many doctors have come out against him for everything other than, you know, the fact that he's given a lot of information about GI stuff. So I guess it's not that he's like this amazing man other than this one decision. It was
where he started the pathway to explore the GI system in more depth. He sprinkled the information.
And at least got people thinking about what ways can they learn more about it without having to put someone through that kind of trauma.
Right.
It gave them a starting point. And nowadays we have GI physician specialties and IBS is better understood and so many other things about food allergies and digestion, and it makes everybody's lives easier.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good story, Alexis.
Yeah. So thank you to all those volunteers, and thank you for all those people who have sacrificed in the name of research.